I know a farm cart when I see one, even if it is painted blue, and it's all battered.
It's all you can afford, said Ashfeld. Anyway, I'll put fresh straw in.
I thought we were going in the stagecoach, said Cliff.
Oh, Mr. Dibbler says artists of your calibre shouldn't travel in a common public vehicle, said Ashfeld. Besides, he said you wouldn't want the expense.
What do you think, Buddy? Said Glod.
Don't mind, said Buddy, vaguely.
Glod and Cliff shared a glance.
I bet if you were to go and see Dibbler and demand something better, you'd get it, said Glod, hopefully.
It's got wheels, said Buddy. It'll do.
He climbed aboard and sat down in the straw.
Mr. Dibbler's had some new shirts done, said Ashfeld, aware that there was not a lot of jolliness in the air. It's for the tour. Look, it says on the back, everywhere you're going. Isn't that nice?
Yes, when the Musicians Guild twist our heads round, we'll be able to see where we've been, said Glod.
Ashfeld cracked his whip over the horses. They ambled off at a pace that suggested they intended to keep it up all day, and no idiot too soft to really use a whip properly was going to change their minds.
No, the buggery, the buggery, the grawny man, says I, buggery, he's a yellow gloke, so he is, 10,000 years, buggery.
Really?
Death relaxed. There were half a dozen people around the fire, and they were convivial. A bottle was circling the group. Well, actually, it was half a tin, and Death hadn't quite worked out what was in it, or in the rather larger tin that was bubbling on the fire of old boots and mud. They hadn't asked him who he was. None of them had names, as far as he could tell. They had labels, like Stalling Ken, and Coffin Henry, and Foul Old Ron, which said something about what they were, but nothing about what they had been. The tin reached him. He passed it on as tactfully as he could and lay back peacefully. People without names. People who were as invisible as he was. People for whom death was always an option. He could stay here a while.
Free music? Mr. Cleet growled. Free? What sort of idiot makes music for free? At least you put a hat down, get people to drop the odd copper in. Otherwise, what's the point?
He stared at the paperwork in front of him for so long that Satchelmouth coughed politely.
I'm thinking, said Mr. Cleet, that wretched veterinari. He said it's up to the guilds to enforce guild law.
I heard they're leaving the city, said Satchelmouth. On tour, out in the country, I heard. It's not our law out there.
The country, said Mr. Cleet. Yes, dangerous place, the country.
Right, said Satchelmouth. There's turnips for a start.
Mr. Cleet's eye fell on the guild's account books. It occurred to him, not for the first time, that far too many people put their trust in iron and steel when gold made some of the best possible weapons.
Is Mr. Downey still head of the Assassin's Guild? He said.
The other musicians looked suddenly nervous.
Assassins, said Herbert, Mr. Harpsichord Shuffle. I don't think anyone's ever called in the Assassins. This is guild business, isn't it? Can't have another guild interfering.
That's right, said Satchelmouth. What'd happen if people knew we'd used the Assassins?
We'd get a lot more members, said Mr. Cleet in his reasonable voice, and we could probably put the subscriptions up.
Now, hang on a minute, said Satchelmouth. I don't mind us seeing to people who won't join. That's proper guild behaviour, that is. But assassins, well...
Well, what? Said Mr. Cleet.
They assassinate people.
You want free music, do you? Said Mr. Cleet.
Well, of course I don't want...
I don't remember you talking like this when you jumped up and down on that street violinist's fingers last month, said Mr. Cleet.
Yes, well, that wasn't like an assassination, said Satchelmouth. I mean, he was able to walk away. Well, crawl away, and he could still...